Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called the church with three commands. And those three commands, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sum up all of the scriptures, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. They hold true in every aspect, for they are the fulfillment of the law and the prophets unto the gospels, which is what? Love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you follow those three commands, everything in his book is in the right place in your heart and in your being. And to that we give ourselves this day. The word of God is the guide to each and every one of us unto life. Can I get an amen, church? And in that, we are going to move into the sermon that the Lord has prepared through me this day. And the title of it is The Bummer Lamb. And I'm going to tell you a little story, but it's at the end of the sermon, so you have to wait to find out what the bummer lamb is. But for right now, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel 19. And we're going to look at some things that are going on in the scriptures here. And from it, we will build to where the Lord wants me to take us today. And I say that knowing that over these last several weeks, the Lord has truly worked on me in a lot of regard to some of this stuff through some of you, plus through my own life and the things that have been going on around me. Now, when we turn to 1 Samuel and we're in chapter 19, we're going to find that we are here with King Saul and David and Jonathan. And some things are going on in the kingdom that aren't quite good. So let us pick up and we're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then I will extrapolate some of these things that are going on. It says, "Now Saul told Jonathan, his son, and all his servants to put David to death. But Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, 'Saul, my father, is seeking to put you to death. Now therefore, please be on guard in the morning and stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. If I find out anything, then I will tell you.' Then Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, 'Do not let the king sin against his servant David, since he has not sinned against you, and since his deeds have been very beneficial to you. For he took his life in his hand and struck the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by putting David to death without a cause?' Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul vowed, 'As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death.' Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as formerly. When there was a war again, David went out and fought with the Philistines and defeated them with great slaughter, so that they fled before him. Now there was an evil spirit from the Lord on Saul as he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand, and David was playing the harp with his hand. And Saul tried to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence so that he struck the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night." And I'm sorry, I said through 9, and I actually needed to go to 10. These words that are spoken here to us, I'm going to elaborate a little bit here. We know that David slew Goliath because the entire army, no one would go out against Goliath. David, a young shepherd boy, assumed somewhere between the age of 14 to 16 years old, shows up, and he defeats this giant without any armor, with simply a sling and a couple of rocks. And then he proceeds to lead the war, a 14 to 16-year-old, and they drive the Philistines out. Saul gets a great victory, but David is the one who gets the acclaim. David then moves into Saul's household because, again, we hear here in the text that Saul has an evil spirit of the Lord that comes and plagues him. Why? Because Saul had turned away from the way of the Lord, and the Lord was disciplining him. But Saul was charged with something here, and we need to understand this. For David was under his care. David was simply a servant of the king. Many of us have people that we serve, whether it be a job. And I'm going to say this, brothers and sisters, because it literally says this in the scriptures, whether it's a marriage, because we are to serve one another, whether it's friends, because again, it's a two-way street, we serve one another. We need to understand that there are many people who are over us, there are many people who are equal to us, there are many people that we trust in, because this is the king of Israel. He's supposed to be doing what's good for Israel. And yet this man turns against one of his own, one who is promoting Israel, who is bringing Israel to success. And how many times in your life have you been in a relationship, have you been in a job, have you been in a situation where the people who are over you, though you're doing a good job, come against you? And you're like, why is this happening to me? Why do these people do this to me? They rely on me to get this done, or they want me to help them. You know, you're talking about friends, talking about relationships, you know, whatever you want to look at, it happens in all of them. Why does that happen? Because we're sinners. We are all sinners. And it's amazing because it happens more than we know. Here, to the very point that the king tried to pin David to the wall with a spear. David told him, he's going to try and kill me. Saul himself said, kill David. Oh, no, 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 that's not the case. And then we turn around and he throws a spear at him. Do you think there might have been a sign or two? But it's amazing because David went back to this one. How many people go back to abusive relationships? How many people want to foster those abusive relationships? Because they feel a sense of tie. Oh, but you don't understand. No, I don't. No, I don't. But yet I'm guilty of it myself because I go back to abusive relationships. We all do it. We all fall to these very real things in our lives. The people that we think we should be able to trust, they bite us. You know, it's one of the things Pastor David and I talk about this all the time. We love you all, okay? We love you all, but you're sheep. And do you know what sheep do? What do sheep do, Pastor David? Let me tell them. Sheep go out and get in the muck and the mire and the brush and the brumble and the briars, and then they come up and they rub out all that stuff against the shepherd, and sometimes they even bite you. And yet we love you. Because that's what we're supposed to do, because that's what God asks us to do. And it's amazing because the church is no different. But we do have a difference because there's one who makes a difference. And I want us to see that not even he was left out of these things. You know, I think about my life. I think about these past several years in my life. And how these things have turned around, and how people that you serve, people that you have loved. And I'm going to tell you all a little bit about my history, okay? When I first went into the ministry, I went back to a church, and they are my founding church. They are the church that ordained me. They were wonderful people, but they were broken people. Can I get an amen? Because we're all broken people, aren't we? And they were church folks. I went to that church because the Lord led me to that church. He told me to go home. And I'm like, where's home? I had no idea what he was talking about. Well, he literally led me to the church that my family, my mother's family, had helped create in the 1700s. And so when I went back to this church, it was called Yella Church, okay? The actual name is St. Peter's. wonderful folks. They're broken Christians, just like most of us. And I went back there, and I started to minister among them, and I received my calling at that time in my ministry, and I started going into ministry, and it was amazing because they loved the help. They loved the things that I had to offer, and they were willing to pay me absolutely nothing but receive it all. In fact, it got to be a running joke. They would tell me at Christmas time, yeah, we're going to double your pay, Pastor. And then I'd get two goose eggs in my basket for Christmas. Literally, they made goose egg ornaments to put on the tree. And yeah, I would get two of them. So I got two goose eggs every year. And they thought it was funny. It hurt. It hurt. But I wasn't doing it for anything. I wasn't doing it for money. I was doing it because God loved me, and this is where he sent me. And so I'm just going to love these people. And it's amazing because I go back there now, and I can preach in that pulpit, and they welcome me. But yet that hurt is still there in my heart. But I've given it to the Lord. And it's amazing because that church has grown. They're now on a new pastor, and it's an awesome place for me to go back and remember these wonderful people that were broken and hurt me. But there was one who was there who kept me the whole time and allowed me to continue giving. And it's been that way through ministry, because the next church I went to, well, they did kind of the same thing. And now I started this church with your help. And here we are. And look where we are. How has God blessed us? Can I get an amen? Amen. Because we no longer focus on the earthly things. We no longer focus on the me. Who do we focus on? It's amazing when the heart is right what happens to the host. Did you get that? When the heart is right, what happens to the host? And that's where I want us to see what goes on, because the host even knows what's going on. Here David is, you know, he's a type of Christ. He is a precursor to the coming of Jesus. And here we see this one who was going to lead Israel being led into an example. This is not what I want you to be. I want you to be something else. David had to figure it out. But we're going to see here in this next scripture, turn to the book of Luke, that somebody else also had to go through it. Somebody else also had to learn it, because he's going to teach us that we too must learn it, because each of us needs to go through these things so that we may understand exactly what the cost is of these very things. From the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, we're going to begin in verse 8. From the 23rd chapter, beginning in verse 8. This is Jesus. This is our Lord, the Christ. He was in Israel. He was with Israel. He was with the ones that he came to save. He is the Messiah. He is there in their presence, showing them who he is, declaring it, and they're rejecting him. And now here he is. He goes before Pilate. From verse 8. Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. And he questioned him at some length, but he'd answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes were standing there, accusing him vehemently. And Herod with the soldiers, after threatening him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Now Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day, for before they had been enemies with each other. Pilate summoned the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and he said to them, "You brought this man to me as one who incites the people to rebellion, and behold, having examined him before you, I have found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him. No, nor has Herod, for he sent him back to us. And behold, nothing deserving death has been done by him. Therefore, I will punish him and release him. Now, he was obligated to release to them at least one prisoner. But they cried out all together, saying, "Away with this man and release for us Barabbas." He was one who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection made in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressing them again, but they kept on calling out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he said to them a third time, "Why? What evil has this man done? I have found in him no guilt demanding death. Therefore, I will punish him and release him." But they were insistent with loud voices, asking that he be crucified, and their voices began to prevail. And Pilate pronounced sentence that their demand be granted. And he released the man they were asking for, who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Jesus came. Jesus is the Messiah. He came to his own to show them who he was. And he spoke that to them time and time and time again, speaking of truth, speaking of hope, speaking of how many of us find ourselves in situations where the person who's coming against us, the people that were there to help, the people that were there to love, we tell them, "I'm here to love you," and they yet beat us down. And we keep going back. And we keep going back because we just want them to love us. We just want them to see the goodness that is in our lives. How many of us experience that stuff every day of our lives? And if not every day, at least throughout the week, somewhere along the line, where someone is coming at us and we just don't understand why. How many of you have ever asked that question? Why? Why? Well, folks, there is an answer to that question. But Jesus wants us to understand, if he went through this, do you think we're not going to go through it? This is one of the things that I need us all to remember. You know, we all say Jesus is our model. Jesus is the one that we're to emulate. How many of us like to emulate the hard stuff Jesus went through? We all want the good stuff, amen? But Jesus is showing us here, you're going to get the bad stuff. You're going to get the hard stuff. But you can get through. There's something else here for you. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. How many of us say that? And then we complain because, and Root, I got to say it, because the fudge is too sweet. We've got good things and we complain. We've got things that, well, you know, I kind of expected that, but it could have been better. We're all there. And the people that we're hurting, you know, I'm talking here, the people are hurting us, but how many people do we hurt with our actions, with our words? And they keep coming back. They keep coming back. You know, I think it's funny as a pastor, when I counsel somebody, I tell you the truth and I don't ever expect to see you again. Because as a pastor, if you're not going to listen to what I say, there's the door. Don't let it hit you on the way out. I'm going to tell you the way it is. If you don't like it, you don't have to like it. It's the truth. But it's amazing. Guess what happens? They call me up and want to talk again. "Come on down. This is the Price is Right. Because the gift is free." Can I get an amen, church? Because it's amazing to me when you think about it. It's why I wore this shirt today. When we understand the bummer lamb principle, we understand that only Jesus can turn a test into a testimony. I got to look at my shirt. a mess into a message, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victory. So, Pastor, we understand this. We all get attacked, and we're attacking others. Can I get an amen? Yeah, y'all don't like to amen that one, but it's the truth, and we know it. But here is the bummer lamb. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John. Book of John, chapter 10. Remember, Jesus did not escape this. These people cried out loud, "Crucify him." And he, being the Lord, could have ended it right there, but he did not. He went on to the end. Why? Because he needed to complete the things that this may truly happen. From chapter 10 in the book of John, 1 through 29. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is the hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, that they may hear my voice, and that they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father.' A division occurred again amongst the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, 'He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?' Others were saying, 'These are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?' At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The words that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Amen." On top of that, let me tell you the story of the bummer lamb. The Bummer Lamb is a name that they give a lamb in New Zealand and Australia. A bummer lamb is a lamb that is born to a ewe that rejects it. Oftentimes, they're a set of twins. The mother will accept one, but not the other. Many times, you know, some of the times, I should say, it's a mother that's either older and getting a little bit less able to take care of a lamb. Sometimes it's just flat out rejection and nobody knows why. But it gets to the point where this newborn lamb is trying so desperately to feed because it's hungry and it wants its mother that the lamb is actually beat up by the mother. She will literally butt it, she'll kick it, she'll stomp on it, she'll bite it. You know, it gets horrible. And the shepherd has to intervene. The shepherd has to go in and save this little lamb, not because it'll starve to death, but it's a scientific fact that if the shepherd does not intervene, that lamb will die within hours of a broken heart. That because it doesn't understand. This is mom. You're supposed to take care of me. I can't do this alone. I need you. I need you. I need you. But yet I hate you. I'm afraid of you. I don't want anything to do with you. And it just total rejection. So the shepherd goes over and he picks up this bummer lamb. That's why they call it a bummer lamb. Because it's a bummer. Mom doesn't want it. But the shepherd takes it up. And he carries it in his house. And he has to hold that lamb. He has to love that lamb. Because if that lamb does not make a connection to him, it will still die of a broken heart. And then he has to begin feeding it. But the lamb has to be secure. It has to know that there's a bond before it'll even start to eat. There needs to be a connection made. And that connection grows as over the next 4 months, this shepherd carries this bummer lamb with him wherever he goes. Because that connection has to be so strong that this lamb will continue eating or it will die of hunger. And after about 4 months, when the lamb is finally big enough and strong enough and capable enough, then he can take it and place it with the other lambs that have been separated by now from their mothers because they're old enough to be separated. And an amazing thing happens in a herd of sheep when that shepherd goes out to call those sheep. And it happens everywhere where this is done. For you see, when the shepherd goes out and he calls the sheep, as Jesus said, they stand and call and they hear his voice and they come to him. Guess which sheep are the first ones to come to the shepherd when he calls to his sheep? All the bummers come running because they know his voice. They know the love that the shepherd has for them, that no matter what the world throws at them, he's got my back. He loves me. He gave himself for me. And no matter what comes at me, I know I can make it through this thing because Christ has me. And if he gave himself for me, I can give a little bit more of me for this person too. That maybe, just maybe, they'll get the picture. And see that they don't have to be a lonely bummer lamb anymore. But together we can be a flock and a shepherd that loves us, will guide us and care for us all the days of our lives. And folks, we live forever. We never die. Because he has taken that life up again. And so too do we in him. Life is going to kick you. Life is going to bite you. Life is going to hurt you. Don't be afraid to live your life. We have a shepherd who, when he sees it, he calls to us wherever we are and he says, come to me, my little sheep, and I will give you rest. In this day, we see so much isolation. It's time to see community once again. It's time to see that we are the sheep of but one pasture. And we have a shepherd that loves us so much that he wants us to know him and each other, because together we are his flock. He's not interested in one at a time. He wants us all together, that he may care for us all together. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Pray with me. Oh, Father God, we are your bummer lambs. And may we come running when we hear your voice. Lord, guide us. Guide us into your grace. Guide us into your compassion. Guide us into your presence, that we may know the love, the hope, the power that is life itself. Because though this world wished to beat us down because of the evil one who runs it, may we remember it is still yours. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. And you reign over everything. May we call upon your name. And Lord, to all those little bummer lambs out there right now who don't know your voice, I pray and I ask them to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of their sins, to turn from them, and to pick up your word and begin to hear your voice for the first time in their lives, that they may know the hope that we have, the life that we have, the joy that we have in even this world. For Lord, this is but a short time unto eternity. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord Jesus. And the church says,
amen.
And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.